Your children will be arriving soon, and those demolishing you and laying waste to you will go out from your midst. Isaiah 49:17. The version of Yours Truly from 2003, Little Children, our daily scripture for today. And you notice in this particular translation, the difference is your children will be not just hurrying, but arriving soon, is the translation there. Whereas American Standard Version says, "Thy children make haste," many other versions translate similarly. It says, look at that, wait a minute. Byington says, those that build you up work faster than did those who demolished you. That's different. Your sons hurry back in the Study Bible. The more recent translation of the New World Translation, which is Jehovah's Witnesses, your sons hurry back. So it's closer to my own rendition, which was made, I think, a decade earlier, roughly. Thy children make haste, American Standard. King James, thy children shall make haste. Rotherham, in haste are thy sons. That's interesting. It's a different rendition. They who have been tearing thee down and laying thee waste out of thee, let them go forth. So it could be talking about your sons have been laying waste to you, and they will be leaving. Could also mean that. And they are hurrying to depart. So there are different meanings for that Isaiah scripture. Returning to the Ark of your Archer now for today, our study from chapter 5, paragraph 11. It's preceded by this picture . The links to the Wikimedia articles don't usually change. And this is an illustration here of Ani before Osiris. Not sure if I know much about Ani. We know who Osiris is. Osiris is this, the very first king of Egypt. You know, he's called. We found out that we could make him equate to Noah or to Nimrod, somebody very early in the history of Egypt. So whether you go back all the way to the deluge, which is Noah, or back to the great hunter Nimrod, Osiris is referred to as this great hunter, or the person the Egyptians looked to in the constellation Orion. The constellation Orion is called the Great Hunter. It's called the Great Hunter, or something like that. Now, as I and my co-author noted in an earlier article called Phoenix, here I mention my co-author, who was my late wife, of course. That's the person to whom I'm referring here. Even though I wrote every word of these articles, she was still an immense support, and so I gave her credit as co-author, because, I mean, I must have bounced ideas off of her many times, or you know, tried out my theories or explained my thoughts to her many, many times. I believe from the article Phoenix, it says, I believe genealogical basis is the strongest basis for history. Generations within a family allow a check on dates within a chronology, leading to a self-correcting method of study and the desire for the increased knowledge of one's true family is a driving force. That's what drove me to discover the genealogies, or the chronology, in fact. But my own genealogy was what drove me initially. The history of the world cannot be separated from families without great risk of losing human qualities such as love, and in a general sense, the divine nature is embodied here. More than that, ignoring family relations leads to greater risk of losing the alignment of families in the historical perspective, thereby losing the temporal nature of family. On the other hand, why would we want to ignore the family? From parents to children is passed the inheritance of both titles and material goods, as well as the spiritual gifts. I am only too well aware of the seeming departure from the generational and family approach which has been manifested by perhaps the greater part of the writing of this present article. But please know that this is not without purpose. In this article, I have chosen to present the research from an earlier point in the research because of the increased benefit derived from sharing my viewpoint with many souls. So the emphasis there is not that I'm seeking to share my viewpoint with more souls. That's not the point. The point is that the sharing of my viewpoint is the point that I'm making there. That in order to share my viewpoint, I have to go back to the earlier time in the research and explain what the earlier aspects or earlier discoveries were. From a reader's perspective, it looks slipshod, confusing. Still, this is a sacrifice I make willingly for the flock. Affection is preferable, I believe, to wartime efficiency. The way in which history is made may illustrate the point. Anne Rutledge says, in the early days of our farming community, most babies were born at home. And Anne Rutledge was my late wife. Anne Rutledge Green was her married name. In the early days of our farming community, she said, most babies were born at home. She lived in Saskatchewan, the western prairies of Canada. This story was told to me by my mother, she writes. Her mother's name was Elizabeth Rutledge, born Muir. So Elizabeth Muir Rutledge was her mother's name. Concerning the birth of a neighbor's baby, the following story was told. One day a boy came to school and told the teacher that he had a new brother. Oh, that's nice, said the teacher. What is his name? The boy hesitated a moment, then said, there was no name come on him. And that concludes paragraph 511 of our article, The Ark of Urartu, The Orient Express, our study for today. Now, in the picture, Osiris is sitting on a throne, and Ani is presenting an offering, kneeling down before the throne. And there's some kind of a platform upon which the throne is set. And above that, there's a ceiling or a structure? A structure with pillars and an awning of some kind, maybe you would call it. Some kind of a, or is it, is, yeah, it's hard to see exactly what's depicted there, whether it's something on the wall or above him. But Osiris has some kind of a booth over top of him, it looks like. It's remarkable to try to interpret these ancient Egyptian artifacts or drawings and artwork. It's remarkable. The article Phoenix is a good link. The article, the link to the Hurrian Ark, it worked. I was playing it earlier. Clicked on it and it brought up the We concluded our study very early today, but I just woke up just moments before. I mean, I just haven't had time to eat, but I've been trying to get awake by watching a few videos on YouTube, but the music is too loud for me sitting here, but it's coming through the back of the mic, so it probably will not be very loud on the final copy, but I can't hear myself think when I'm listening to that. It's very engaging to listen to me playing, for me especially, because it gets me back into the idea of what the music is telling me and what I was playing at the time. Improvisational jazz on the piano. Now, the piano I'm playing there is some kind of a, I believe it's some kind of a synthetic piano, not a real piano, but I'm playing a MIDI keyboard with real piano-like keys that are properly weighted. And yet, the music part, the audio part, comes from a synthesizer or a sampler, a sampled sound, which is done. You can buy these things. One of them is called Ivory. If you buy this Ivory package, it gives you all these different pianos that were sampled, like Bösendorfers, Steinways, Yamahas, all sorts of different pianos that you can get that were carefully recorded in a very elaborate studio environment, and then you've got control over all sorts of different aspects of it, such as the stereo aspect of it, and I've got to shut that down or it'll start again. Good. Okay. I'm using VLC as my media player. And VLC, what is VLC? It's, I forget what it stands for, VLC, but version 3 I'm using for Apple Silicon. I was trying to, there's lots of things to talk about. I tried to install the new version of VirtualBox yesterday, and I found out it no longer supports Windows XP, which is, it no longer supports the x86 architecture that it used to support. And I don't think that's coming back. But I use UTM now to run virtual machines of Windows XP on my Apple Silicon M1. But the VLC is a free and open source media player right there. Yeah, that's what I'm using to get my Windows, to be able to play Windows media files. So, I mean, there are lots of things, probably even more nowadays than there used to be, available for Mac OS. But there are some things that, in fact, there are many things that you can't do in Mac OS that are, you know, programs you can't run that are Windows programs and so on. There are many different things in the Windows world that you can't do on Mac OS. And that doesn't mean anything for somebody who has been and done Windows. Like Windows XP, right? It used to be called Windows NT, which was new technology. And the Windows NT was the commercial version of Windows. You know, it was more, had more, I guess it was 32 bits instead of 16, and then later they went to 64 bits and so on. But Windows NT was the 63 million lines of code that was the professional version or the commercial version of Windows. And so when they came out with Windows XP, that was the first time ever when, I believe that was the first version of it, when the consumer version of Windows obtained the commercial Windows format of Windows NT. But it was called XP instead of NT because it was the Windows experience, it was called, you know, the user version, the commercial home user version of Windows with the newer technology of Windows NT. So, and that was more secure, it was better, more secure in the sense of running more reliably, also with fewer conflicts and things like that. It was just a better system, Windows XP. So I first got that Windows XP when I bought my Dell Dimension 8100 computer that was a desktop. Wait a minute though, I think it came with a different operating system and I upgraded to Windows XP. Because, but whatever it was, I got Windows, I never had Windows 95, but I had Windows 3.1, and then I went to, what was it that came after Windows 98? I think I might have had Windows 98, but I think there was another one that came after that. It was just before Windows XP. Let's see if I can find out. Yeah, it's been a long time since I've been in the Windows world. Oh, Windows 2000. Windows ME I had. And I may have had Windows 98 too, but I got Windows ME. Windows 2000, I think, was the professional version. I think. Okay, Windows 2000 was based on Windows NT, but maybe Windows 2000 was something you could get before, that was a consumer version also. Yeah, sounds like it. But Windows ME was also released in the year 2000, and it was still based on MS-DOS, the DOS operating system, you know, the 16-bit system, which I loved for some reason. Well, it wasn't always, it was not great, but Windows XP was released in 2001, it says there. I mean, the thing about DOS-based Windows, it was always crashing and it had conflicts between... It was just a very ambitious undertaking by Microsoft. But what I loved about Windows 3.1 was you could do a lot of things in the config.sys files and the autoexec.bat file. You know, you could do quite a lot of. I ran almost every kind of equipment you could ever run on a computer, including scanners and, you know, you name it, but everything. I had SCSI drives and things. I had all kinds of stuff that I was running. SCSI is SCSI, Small Computer System Interface. But it was in some ways a horrible system. But once you got it working for you, you know, you could do a lot of things with it. And now, well, after that, there was Windows XP. Now that I've gotten away from Windows, because Windows kept getting bigger and bulkier and was never a joy to use. It was a nightmare to install, and you could have problems with every aspect of it because it was so ambitious in trying to accommodate so many different programs from so many different software companies. So the number of choices in Windows is huge, absolutely huge, in terms of hardware and software, and simply immense, the number of choices. And that, of course, was the reason I was glad to be using Windows, was specifically that's the advantage of Windows. But once I realized that Mac had matured well enough, was far enough along, that I could do everything I wanted on Mac, and the thing about Mac is it's even more secure than Windows, commercial Windows, you know, or Windows NT or XP or the systems that came after Windows, the software that came after Windows XP, was just, the Windows XP is just bulky and, I don't know, it's not really, I would say it's not user friendly, I guess that's how I'd put it, that's why I didn't like it. Whereas the Mac OS was always user-friendly, but there were a lot more things hidden underneath the surface of Mac OS. I've been recovering, in a computer sense, recovering. I'm not sick. It's just I'm very healthy for so long now. The allergy season is still here, but it's not so bad right now, I think, because we've had some rain. But the computer problem I've been recovering from, I had a hard drive fail. I think the same drive failed before, too, come to think of it. And I'll have to reformat the drive. Maybe I should just retire it. I'm not sure. But I've been recovering by trying to salvage all the data off the drive, even though it's just a backup drive and most of it's not unique data. I mean, none of it should be unique. It's not a good idea to have any hard drive where any of your data is residing on that hard drive alone. That's a very unwise idea, because sooner or later you will experience data loss by using that method, by not backing things up. So I always have made backups, and that started way back in Windows 3.1 for me. And I just kept that up, and I prefer to do it manually. So every time I need, or every time I get some new data, I back it up on an external drive, and I do it manually. I don't have programs running. I might automate it again at some point, but automation is just not as what's the word? Not as certain or trustworthy, or you can't. You don't know, I mean, you're not seeing it with your own eyes if it's automated. It just happens in the background. Well, that's right. That reminds me, I haven't backed up my system. on my time machines. I've got the Apple Time Machine hard drive backup system also. And I've been choosing to do that manually rather than have it automatically do that. So that the way that looks is like this. Let's go open Time Machine settings. See, maybe I can bring that over and show you. Here it is. So you can say Time Machine, you know, options, start now or something. Where is it? It's not allowing me to start now. What? Yeah, well, I could start one now. I just say back up now. And it starts connecting. And then it will try to back it up if it makes a connection. If it fails, I'd probably find out about it. But it doesn't ever do it automatically anymore. But anyway, the thing about here's the thing about Mac OS. It's based on Linux, right? So it's very much harder to. I mean, it's still not impossible. Nothing's impossible, I suppose, right? But it's especially not if you're a God-fearing person, because all things are possible with God. That's the scripture. But it's very difficult to break into a Linux system or hack it. It's very much more secure than Windows. And even if you do break in, it's difficult to delete things or change the file structure or content, you know, or anything to get in without permission and without knowing all the passcodes and everything, if there is more than one. But I mean, all the idea that you know of having this system of a very secure Linux type system, which is what Mac OS is based on. It's just much more secure than Windows, than Windows ever was, even though Windows increased their security once they made the change from the older, you know, DOS-based into the professional, which is more like a Linux-based, I guess, the Windows NT. But it was never Linux-based, like, as far as I understand, anyway. Yeah, I mean, I used to read all the PC magazines and all that stuff. Oh, there, it started. So you see, it's now. So the Time Machine has now started backing up. Right here, we've got the data cartridge. Maybe I'll have to block that out later. I don't know the name of it, but it's just. I can change to another Time Machine. I've got two of them. But you see, it's got 2.6 terabytes available. It's making it. It's looking for changes on my backup drive. But what I can do is go into options. You can go into options, and there you can select which drives will not be backed up. I don't want to back up all my external drives, so I have to exclude all that, the stuff I don't want to back up. That's what the options is for. That's the Time Machine program that comes with Mac OS. But the program, and you can use any drive for a Time Machine backup. You don't have to buy the time capsule. But the time capsule I bought, and then later I bought another one. And they're just a hard drive inside a box, really. And they can be really tricky to use sometimes, because it works over an Ethernet connection, or sometimes over Wi-Fi. You can use it over Wi-Fi. But I mean, I haven't done that backup for months and months. I just realized as I was talking. But that's just a separate backup. That's the backup of my Windows. It's not Windows. It's Mac OS. It's just a backup of my Mac OS that I'm running day after day, I think. So that later on, if there is a crash of some kind, I can get back. But I've never used the time capsule to make a recovery. You can always, because I always back my data up elsewhere, and I've never had a crash in Mac OS. That's the other thing; it's never crashed on me. that's a remarkable thing to be able to say. But the recovery systems that are built into macOS, the automatic reinstall things that are provided for recovering, and all of that stuff is extremely reliable from what I've seen, and I've never had an install of macOS fail. It's just not like Windows. And you never have to update macOS. It's free, and when you do, it's free. All the updates are free. They always have been, up till now. So, but you don't have to update with macOS either. So it's a remarkable, it's not forced on you, and it's free. So macOS is really but it's also technologically the best operating system in the world, as Apple claims, but I think it's quite accurate. The thing about macOS is there are a lot of things where you will need to use Google to find out how to do things in macOS. I don't doubt that. I mean that, but there are a lot of forums out there. The forums can provide you with all the answers, and even Apple itself, as a company, provides you with a lot of answers. You know, from their website, in the technical explanations, and all of that. And some of the Apple hardware is more expensive, of course. It definitely is more expensive than some of the Windows hardware. But then again, it's reliable. For example, I've got two 2011 iMacs that both still work, and I'm running. I've got a Mac Mini that I bought with the M1 Apple Silicon, and then I bought this. So I'm keeping the Mac Mini as a backup, because I bought the MacBook Pro with the M1, the 16-inch MacBook Pro. It's a phenomenal computer. The display quality of that 16-inch display is phenomenal. And I'm running it with four external displays because it supports that with the Max version of it. The M1 Max is what I got in the 16-inch, and it's with 32 gigs mandatory of RAM. It also supports 400 megabytes per second. Is that what the speed is? Yeah, I guess it would be 400 megabytes per second, not gigabytes per second, right? That's 400 megabytes per second. But wait a minute, I'm trying to think what the new speeds are. Really phenomenal on in Thunderbolt 5. The speeds are impressive. I'm trying to figure out what that means in terms of how that increases bandwidth and data flow and so on, but that's coming in the M4, which is out now. It's coming out now. October 31st, 2024 of the Common Era. The time is 2039 hours, North American Eastern Daylight Time. I'm Ward Green, and thank you so much for listening and watching. I love you very much, and on my behalf, this is Liv Dusty. And this is Cassie saying bye for now. That was Chapter 5, Paragraph 11 of The Ark of Urartu. The Orient Express, our article from 2011 or so.